All right, let's get your hymn book now and turn to 118. 118.
Jim. Good morning. It is really good to be in the house of the Lord today, and This morning, a little cloudy whenever I left the house. I thought we might get a little shower, but the sun's popped out, and so I guess it'll just be another hot day. But it is, after all, the middle of August. And we have a lot of folk traveling this week. And Jeff has been gone for a couple Sundays, and so I've been filling in for him. And we were in the middle of the lesson over there a while ago, and people got up and started leaving class. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Well, the bell had rung probably 5 minutes before that. So I think Cliff asked me if I was going to preach this morning. So good study, and I appreciate everybody coming to Sunday school class. If you're visiting here with us this morning, welcome. We're glad to have you. And I can't think of a better place to be than in the house of the Lord. And here at Oak Hill is a great place to worship God, and thank you for coming our way. I got a text this morning, and George, you want to put that up? I sprung this on Georgia really quickly this morning, and so bless her heart. Okay. And the text reads, "Good morning, Oak Hill. Elaine and I are in Kentucky, headed to Cincinnati this morning, but we are thinking about our great church family. We know y'all are going to have a great service for our Lord and Savior. We will miss two Sundays, though a real head of hair would brighten your day." God bless. Hey, you can get a copy of that if you have a garden and put it out on the scarecrow. But anyway, thankful for folk that enjoy life and serving God. Thankful for them being here with us. All right, we have a few announcements this morning before we get into our prayer request. Not a lot of announcements. It's kind of short right now, but grab a hold. It won't last long, and we'll be back to a very, very busy schedule. This morning is our special offering for Brother Walter. We've been doing this for him and his family for a while now because we love him. And if you've been through cancer and stuff like that, you know that the medical bills never seem to stop. So we're thankful to be able to help Brother Walter. So the second time the plate is passed this morning, that's what it'll be for. This evening will be our business meeting. We've had to put that off for a couple weeks because of special events, but we are going to meet tonight, and we have quite a bit of stuff to talk about. So I encourage you to come and be a part of the business meeting. Next Sunday morning will be our youth fund offering. And this morning, the nursery attendants are whoever is needed. So we'll need some volunteers. Next Sunday will be Georgia and Mandy. If we have a need for a nursery, somebody will just have to. There is? Okay. Thank you. All right. Any other announcements? Anything else?
Turn down to number 44. Number 44. I heard about his throne. Times it's been a little while, but listen at the words. I know a man who can. I can take a heart that's broken, make it over again, but I can't take a soul that's in sick, make it white as the snow, but I know a man who can. I can't walk upon these waters nor calm the troubled sea, but I know a man who can. I can cause blind eyes to open or make the lame to walk again, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you, your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can.
Thank you, Brother Travis. I appreciate that. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And, last Sunday was our homecoming. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. We had a great time. I appreciate everyone that came and took part in the service. And I know there were some that couldn't be here, and we missed you. We had a good time. We ate a lot of good food, some good fellowship. And it was just wonderful. Mary Lou, the pictures are still up over there. So if you didn't get a chance to see all of our historical pictures she put up over here in the hallway, I'd ask you to go by and look at those. She's done a wonderful job. There's a lot of history over there. You know what? I love this church and what she stands for and all the people that are here. God is blessing us greatly. And we pray that we can do our part. We're going to start our Bible studies here in about 3 or 4 weeks in Revelation. But this morning I'm going to preach out of the first part of the book of Revelation for just a little bit. I'm looking forward to the study, and I encourage you to plan on coming. You ever been through the book of Revelation in a very pretty intense Bible study? You'll know, but if you haven't, you'll get a blessing from it. There's a lot of hard stuff in there, but God gave it to us. It's the only book in the Bible that He says He'll bless you for studying and reading it, so try to come to that. In the first part of the book of Revelation, we're going to start reading in chapter 1, but in the first part, we read about seven churches. We will talk about them in more detail when we get into our Revelation study, but I believe that these are seven literal churches in Asia Minor, which today we know as Turkey, so in that area. They were all individual called out assemblies like we are, and all of them but two had some issues. Okay, so if you're looking for the perfect church, you may not find it. Because what happens a lot of times is you think you finally found the perfect church, and then if you join, guess what? We're imperfect beings. So no church is really perfect because it's made up of imperfect people. I believe that the issues associated with these churches are still with us in our churches today. I'm going to start in chapter 1. I want you to know this before we start reading, though. This book of Revelations is really all about one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. From the beginning to the end, it's all about Jesus, okay? So I don't want to make any mistakes about that. And so this morning I would say to you that we can get marred down in sometimes controversial things, but when we focus all about Jesus Christ, the Spirit will lead us to the truth. So everything you see in Revelation is about Jesus. John was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos. It was a pretty barren place, rocky. There wasn't much there. There really wasn't any guards, but it was pretty much a maximum security prison because you had to swim to get off of it. He was there. He was a prisoner. And as we sometimes talk about the situations that we find ourselves in, God uses our situations to His honor and glory. So John, there on the Isle of Patmos, was given revelation that he wrote for us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. John is trying to show us the things that he saw. He saw these things. And when I try to teach about Revelation, I never want to be guilty of not trying to explain this. Whenever we study about Revelation, John saw this like we watch a movie. God actually showed it to him, and so he's relating what he saw to us. And then Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now I want to try to break this down a little bit as we go through it, but I want you to get this in your mind for a second, that John was imprisoned on the isle there, and he was transported, if you will, in the Spirit to the Lord's day. Now, I want you to know that I believe the Lord's day, we are living in the church age, and the Lord's day is when Jesus comes back and takes His church up to be with Him. And the Lord's day is coming possibly very soon. The Spirit on the Lord's day, and behind him he heard a voice. And it was a great voice. Verse 11 saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, I want you to think with me for just a second. John's been transported into the future. Well, how's that possible, preacher? Well, with God, all things are possible. God, Jesus had taken him into the future, and he was showing him the things that were to come, and he was showing him these churches and the issues that these churches were having and going to have, and we're still dealing with them a lot today. But here's what I want you to get out of this. The voice that spake was amongst the seven golden candlesticks. And the golden candlesticks were the seven churches. And Jesus Christ was amongst the churches. He was there in amongst them, dealing with them. Folk, this church belongs to Jesus Christ. And He has a vested interest in what we do here. He was walking among the churches, and he was watching what they were doing. Folk, that hadn't changed. Jesus Christ is still watching what we're doing here. at Oak Hill and his other churches scattered throughout the world. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, and he was clothed in the garment that went all the way down to his feet, and around his paps or in his chest area, he had a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were like white, like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And I want to talk about that at length when we get into our study, but I want you to think about this for a second. Jesus Christ is here in our midst today. The Holy Spirit dwells here amongst us. And Jesus' eyes are like a flame of fire. And I don't know if you've ever watched the Superman movies, but I always loved Superman's X-ray vision. And when I think about this Christ picture and these red eyes, I think of that X-ray vision. Listen to me, friend. You cannot hide what you're doing as an individual or as a church from the eyes and the sight of Jesus Christ. He has the X-ray vision going. He sees. He sees. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, if you've ever done any welding, and I know a lot of you have, if you've ever done any brazing, whenever you get brass heated to the point where it melts and it becomes real shiny and you can see the porosity and the impurities float off to the side and you see that perfect little puddle of fine brass, that's what we're talking about. That's what John is alluding to, that Jesus Christ was pure. As pure could be. And his voice. Have you ever sat by a waterfall and heard the water cascading down? It's a beautiful noise, if you will. But his voice, as the sound of many waters, is going to be heard for great distances. And Jesus is pure as the pure brass, and his voice carries like the sound of many waters, and in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Jesus Christ walks amongst his churches, and the stars are the pastors of the churches, and he has them in his hand, and he moves them around as he will, and he does with them as he will. And if he don't, there's something wrong. Constant vigilance. Jesus watching his churches, and he's also making the light that we shine here brighter because of his vigilance. Now, seven different churches, I believe, representing the bodies of one body of Christ. I am not a universalism church guy. I do not believe that there's a great universal church. Whatever you want to believe is okay. What I do believe is that there's only one church, and it was started by Jesus Christ while he was here on this earth during his ministry, and it is made up of individual called out assemblies or bodies like we are. He called his first members just like he calls members here today. God places who he wants in this church to be the church that he wants. Except you be called, you can't be saved. Y'all have heard me say this many times. If God wants you here, this is where we want you. And if it's not, you need to find where it is. Because God's still in the business of building churches to suit himself. Church is made up of many local called out assemblies, united in purpose. And the purpose is to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's why we're here. The members of Oak Hill are responsible for our service. We are responsible for what we do here, each and every one of us. what we preach, what we teach, and how we do it. And Jesus walks amongst us, and he's watching what we do. Skip over to chapter 2 and verse 1. Jesus speaking again unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He holds, remember, the pastors in his right hand. Right hand signifies power. It's the power of Jesus. Now listen to me, preachers and pastors, anybody that might be hearing this. If Jesus isn't holding you in his hand, you will fail. And that includes me, right, Brother Dean? Church people, I believe it applies to you as well. And churches, candlesticks, you belong to Jesus. He is who makes this a viable church, not any individual, okay? If he's not leading the church, he's going nowhere fast. And he knows. And you can't just make a show of it and get by. Look at verse 2. I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Now, if we just stop right there, we could say this is probably about a perfect church, wouldn't you think? I mean, listen, Jesus is telling them, I know how you've labored and how you've fought and what you've taught and everything that you've done in my name. But look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. First love. Friend, that's Jesus is our first love. They were going to church. They were going through all the right motions, but they were doing it for the wrong reasons. Boy, you mean, preacher, I can be faithful in church and not be pleasing God? Yes, you can. I can, you can, we all can. Because if we're not doing it because we love Jesus Christ, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. Folk, don't forget the first love. That's Jesus Christ. We love coming together here. God has blessed us greatly. We have such a wonderful, loving, caring, giving congregation. It'd be a good place to come just to say I come here, right? I mean, think of how many hugs you get when you get here and how many people ask you and how many people call you during the week and all the things that go on here at Oak Hill. This is a wonderful place to go to church. Don't forget why we're here. Don't forget the first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will move thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Now, I don't believe we've lost our first love here, but I do believe that we need to constantly guard against losing the first love. Enjoy what we have. God is blessing us greatly. But listen, friend, never lose focus about why we're truly here. It's not for our pleasure. It's not for the pat on the back that we get. It is to serve God and Jesus Christ and to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. I've said many times, I believe it wholeheartedly, we're only one generation away from apostasy here at Oak Hill. 116 years here on this hill, preaching and teaching the gospel. We're not guaranteed that we'll be here if we don't keep up the good work. You see, Jesus said, if you don't keep the first love, he'll come among you quickly and remove the candlestick out of the place. except you repent. You see, the church here had forgotten why they were going to church. And Jesus said, repent, or else I'll remove the candlestick. You know what that means to me? It means that you will no longer be my church. I'm afraid there's a lot of, quote, churches in the world today that don't represent a candlestick. They more represent a social gathering. And there's nothing wrong with gathering socially. But when we come together here as a church, we need to remember our first love. The first works are to love Jesus. What is the great commandment? Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? I'm coming back to Revelation. Don't lose your spot. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. But listen to me, friend. Thou shalt does not mean if you want to. It is God saying through Jesus Christ here, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God first and forever. You know why we're commanded to love our neighbor? Because that really shows our heart condition to the world. And when we love God, we love our neighbor. On these commandments, the law and the prophets are built. Back to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6. But thou hast that thou hatest the deeds But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So he's telling them what they've done wrong. He's telling them what they've done good. If you don't know, the Nicolaitans were a pretty, it was a very pagan religion. He hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, local churches grow stronger or weaker depending on how we react specifically to attacks from Satan. So how do we react? Will Satan attack this church? You better believe he will, if he's not already. I want you to know something, friend, that Jesus Christ is telling us through John that this church here, that they had lost their first love, and they were in danger of losing their candlestick unless they repent. Let us guard ourselves against letting Satan attack this church through us. Keep the first love. It starts with you and me. This church will only survive another 116 years or until Jesus Christ comes back if we purpose in our heart that we will focus on Jesus and not self. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine here the other day, and their church was having some issues, and He told me, he said, I know y'all have a great thing going on down there at Oak Hill. And I said, we do. It's wonderful. He said, be strong because attacks are coming. He said, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I say to you this morning that you should pray like me that I will not let Satan in this church through me, no matter what. You see, I believe that this church is a great light. I believe this is a wonderful place to go to church, and God is blessing us greatly. Don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus is the first love. Keep everything in perspective. Satan attacks us through our body, our physical things. He attacks us through our mind, temptations. and he attacks us through our morals. And that really is how well we follow God's directives. Christ can remove a candlestick from his community if we drift too far from the shore. I love that old song, drifting too far from the shore. The folk, the other song, one of the other songs I love so greatly is that my anchor holds. I've preached a sermon on that song in the past, and you know what our anchor is? Jesus Christ. He's our first love. He is the anchor that holds. He is the glue that keeps us together. He is the rudder that keeps us pointed in the right direction. The Holy Spirit lives here, friend. This is Jesus Christ's church. Let us never lose sight of the fact that He is our first love. Enjoy the blessings that we get. Enjoy the teaching, the fellowship, and all the things that we have here at Oak Hill, but never lose sight of the fact that this church belongs to Jesus. It's not mine. And it's not yours. It's His. May we ever be focused on His will. Because when we seek His will, He will bless. Keep the first love. If you don't strive to follow God, we can lose what we have here. I've seen it happen, and you have too. Guard against it. And we can only guard against it by staying as close as we can to God. It's up to us to make sure that this church is here for our children and our grandchildren. When we keep the faith, I could talk for the rest of the day about what people are doing contrary to the will of God in their society, but be it sufficient to say that we, the church, are the last hope of a lost and dying world. It's us. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. My prayer is that when Jesus Christ comes back, that we as a church and as individuals can stand before Jesus Christ and say, we fought the good fight here at Oak Hill. We kept the faith. We preached the gospel to a lost and dying world. Keep the faith. Keep the hope alive. Keep the gospel real. Focused on our first love, Jesus Christ. Listen to me, friend. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot please God until you accept Him, Jesus, as your Savior. But listen to me, born again believer, you can be saved by the grace of God and covered by the blood and not be walking where God would have you walk. Focus on your first love, Jesus. What would He have you do? What would He have us do here as a church? Friend, guard against the attacks of Satan. It's up to us. Maybe God is wanting you here. Maybe Jesus is leading you here to this church, or we have been blessed with some coming and we're continue to be blessed. And our goal here at Oak Hill is to serve God and keep the first love. If God wants you here, this is where we want you. If God wants you somewhere else, that's our prayer for you as well, because that's when God can work the best, is when we put ourselves where He wants us to be. You know what God wants from you, or if you don't, you can, through prayer, reading and studying. What's God's will in your life? I want to ask you to stand, if you will. If our pianist and our song leader will come forward. Bow with me, please. Fathers, we come to you at this time, thankful, Lord, for the blessings that you give us. Lord, help us ever to stay focused on Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to always lift Him up and to present Him, Lord, as
the pure Son of God who gave his life on the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray for the condition of the lost round about. Lord, soften their hearts that they might receive the salvation before it's eternally too late. I pray for our church, Lord, that we would stay focused on serving you, that you would help us, Lord, to stay focused on our first love. I do thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you give us here. We're so blessed, and we thank you for it. But mostly we're blessed with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that you made for us, my Father. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
196. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Okay. Received a letter. Would Linda and Ricky Blue please come forward? Would y'all come up this time? Okay, we voted when they came to accept them upon receipt of their letter. And we received a letter from Miss Linda. A letter of recommendation is a member of church in good standing. Upon request, we cordially recommend you to your fellowship. And so she is now a member here at Oak Hill. Ricky, somehow or another, his letter or whatever happened got lost. I don't know, misplaced. I don't know what happened, but they don't show a record. So here's what we do. We accept members by baptism, by statement of faith, and by letter here at Oak Hill. I've talked to Ricky, and he professes a salvation and a baptism in a Baptist church. We don't know what happened to his letter, but we're going to have to take him on his statement of faith. So what's the will of the church?
Move, we accept.
All those in favor? Any opposed? All right, brother, you're a member here too. We appreciate y'all coming. Well, we just got to keep everything right, okay? So at this time, we're going to have the invitation will still be open. We're going to come by and give them right hand of church fellowship. So if you're not a member of this church and you want to give them right hand of Christian fellowship, please feel free to do so. We are very blessed to have y'all. God bless you. We hope we're a blessing to you as you are to us.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind what a fellowship, what a joy divine leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure. Leaning on the ever.
God is always good. We also got Jerry and Elaine's letter, but we'll take care of that when they get back off of their trip. And so don't forget our business meeting tonight at 6. And we got some stuff to talk about, so I encourage you to come be a part of it. All right, anything else? Anyone?